Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Jacob's here. Bree's here. Aki's here. Yay!
Yay?
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
How's everyone doing?
Decent. I'm almost done with Sifu, so I'm doing pretty good.
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm just chilling. Doing a show.
I'm doing fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got some personal news to share.
Okay.
Some of you will have heard it last night on my stream, but I've been keeping some secrets from y'all probably for as long as I've been on the show. A little over 2 years ago, shit. I met someone, started a long distance relationship with them. And I am excited to finally be in a position to tell everyone the truth, because that man asked me to marry him in December.
Oh, shit.
We bought a house for us to live in together.
Oh, shit.
To Wisconsin in a little over a month. You guys might know him. He goes by the name Injury.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit. Wait.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We need a sound effect for this. Hold on. I'm getting there.
Okay, so, no, not that one.
So holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit. I've been holding on to this news for a while. Had to keep it to myself for a little while, until certain things lined up and all that jazz. But now we're letting everybody know, and you guys get to hear it second. Sorry, not first.
That's understandable.
I've known all along.
It was known for a long time.
Yeah, because you have to stay here on, like, some of your trips.
Yes.
Make a pit stop here on your way. Oh, man. I'm so friggin' happy for you. I know you've been in a situation for so long with, being in a place you didn't want to be, being stuck living with somebody you really didn't want to live with. And it seems like everything is turning up Milhouse.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty awesome. I'm packing boxes right now. I've been cleaning a lot this week.
Dude, get the fuck out. No.
I know, right? I still have a lot of things I need to take care of before I go. But I'm looking sometime in August to GTFO and start my new life with Injury.
Very cool. Does that mean you're going to be Lady Injury now?
I don't know.
Lady McGringery?
No, that sounds weird.
Lady McGringery.
No, that's terrible.
Oh,
no,
I think we're going with McGringery.
No.
Can I call the episode title McGringery?
Oh my gosh. He's going to be Mr. Lady. There you go. You heard him say it.
I like it. I like
that's
it.
Mr. Lady 19. That is so friggin' awesome. I am so happy for you.
Also, just a shout out, because Injury also got 3 million gamer score today. His first achievement in the new house.
Nice.
I think I made the comment that, of course, someone in our community would wait to move to a new house to hit a milestone like that.
Yep. Yeah. All right. It's
like waiting to hit 2 million to finish a poop game.
Out of curiosity, what was the achievement?
It had to do with killing spiders in Lord of the Rings, the card game.
Okay. Huh. Just curious.
Aki was not happy.
Yeah.
Because the artwork for it has a spider, and I don't do spiders, and now I'm checking my room to make sure there's no spiders.
Oh, I thought you were upset because Bree's off the market. Jeez.
You think that has ever stopped me from being a flirtatious little shithead? No!
No, that is true.
I posted a picture of the ring in The Adventures of Bree, if anybody wants to see. It's gorgeous.
Oh, damn.
It's nice.
Bree.
Oh, and we can see it so much better here.
Oh, yes. Hell yeah.
It looks so much better than I thought. And I already thought it looked good. That's nice. Branch
design.
Yeah, the vines are gorgeous. I love it.
That's really great. Very nice. That's
cool, Zell. Oh, man. So awesome. So good. So good. But unfortunately, it can't all be good.
Yeah.
Like today's news.
Yeah.
So much of today's news.
It has been a shit week for gaming and for the U.S. as a whole, but that's not the kind of show this is. We talk video games and the Microsoft and Xbox layoffs we talked about last week. And they happened, and they were bad.
Big. Yeah.
Bill Spencer sent out an email to the team, and in the email was this line: I recognize that these changes come at a time when we have more players, games, and gaming hours than ever before. Our platform, hardware, and game roadmap have never looked stronger. In turn, they eliminated over 9,000 jobs.
Yep.
Yeah.
9,000. That was real fucking thousand.
Yep.
That is insane.
And it is fucking a lot of things up.
Yeah. Let's go down the list of damages. The initiative has been shut down and Perfect Dark is canned. The sizzle reel trailer that was shown last year was, quote, basically fake. Xbox is no longer working with Crystal Dynamics. Everwild by Rare has been canceled as a result of the cuts. Greg Males, 35-year Rare designer, is leaving. 50% of Turn 10 is gone. 10% of King were hit with layoffs. ZeniMax Online's latest MMO is dead, and Matt Furor, president of ZeniMax Online, is leaving. Contraband is rumored to be gone as well after its trailer was removed from YouTube. High Moon, Raven, and Sledgehammer are all affected in this. Funding for Romero Games' new game, partnered with Xbox, is John Romero. Funding was canceled. The entire team was laid off and the studio closed. User research and family and child safety teams were hit bad. And, quote, several other projects are dead, including some from Bethesda.
I'm sorry, did you fucking say John Romero's studio is closed?
Yes.
Yep.
Jesus.
They weren't even owned by Microsoft is the bad thing, and they still had to close because Microsoft fucked up.
They
pulled all their funding.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
They were working on that game for like 10 years.
There was apparently some other game that execs saw a few months ago. They were saying it was like Cyberpunk meets Destiny, and it was amazing, incredible. Whatever it was is gone. Dead.
Yep.
Canceled.
So why exactly are we fans of Microsoft anymore?
Has me wondering. Really does.
They bought all this stuff, and then they fucked absolutely everything since they bought all this stuff, and instead of putting any of these people to actually create a fucking game, they've sat on their asses with, you know, their whole fist up their ass, really, and done nothing. And now they're like, oh, let's fire everybody. And I'm not blaming this on Xbox.
We don't know the behind-the-scenes reasonings for any of this. So to assume that it's just people sitting on their ass doing nothing, I wouldn't make that assumption. Like, The Initiative has been around for how long? Perfect Dark has been in development for how long? And it has basically gone nowhere. Everwild has been in development for 10 years, and we've seen nothing of it. It seems like they're killing projects that just scale bounded out of existence. Hmm. There are three good points that happened. State of Decay 3 is not canceled.
Okay.
The hardware team apparently avoided most of the cuts, so future, alleged future consoles are still being worked on, and all the games shown at last month's showcase are safe. Hmm. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I don't trust that at all. Microsoft is in charge. I trust nothing. They can't be trusted.
Yeah. Even better news, there are reports that this could happen again in 3 to 6 months.
Jeez.
Yay!
Holy hell.
See, Microsoft has always been flipping between being very antagonistic and generally just leaving Xbox alone, and I don't understand that. It's like it's one of your child companies. Why are you antagonistic to it so damn much?
I think Phil Spencer was allowed to do what he wanted with Xbox until he bought Activision. And then the higher-ups at Microsoft are like, oh, this is a lot of money. We're going to take charge now.
Yeah, and they can't be trusted to do fucking anything right. Ever. They're probably why everything that Microsoft touches, for the most part, fucking fails. Oh, I don't trust Microsoft. They need to fuck off and let Xbox do its shit. They know what the fuck they're doing most of the time, anyways. Most of the time, I think. Probably. At least a hell of a lot more often than Microsoft fucking does.
What are your thoughts? I'm going to go around. I want everybody's thoughts on this. And Aki, preferably with not enough foul language to get us blacklisted by Microsoft forever.
Okay. It's fucked up, and they need to leave Xbox the hell alone so it can do its stuff. They know more about games than any of the execs at Microsoft will ever know. And Microsoft itself has killed off a lot of different things that they brought up. They're like, oh, we're going to support this forever, and then they kill it within a year. Just leave Xbox, let Xbox do its shit. They know what they're doing. They're game people. Lots of them are game people, not all of them. Just let them do what they're doing. They know what they're doing. Let them do it. Stop messing with stuff. When you stick your dick in things, it doesn't work.
Agree your thoughts.
I don't know. It worked twice for me.
I mean, I'm just still reeling from the amount of cuts. It's so much.
It's fucking gross.
But that said, I mean, they cut more people than Nintendo even has, and Nintendo is still doing fine.
No.
That was a comparison I saw somewhere on the internet today. So that's just, I don't know. Maybe they have some bloat somewhere, but
they have a ton of bloat.
It still just really sucks to hear it happening, especially in the ecosystem that I've, you know, invested in.
Yeah.
And it does make me feel a little uneasy about the future.
I'm pretty sure we're going to see a games crash again, just like what happened, what was it, with the Atari, where gaming
It's been in motion for a long time. There's so many companies closing, so many cancellations. AAA gaming is just ballooning out of control cost-wise. And there's going to be, I don't know, something bad's going to happen.
I think it's going to completely crash.
Jacob, your thoughts on the cuts?
I'm really surprised that it happened. And frankly, I mean, like, holy shit, that is almost 10,000 people that now have to like go search for work and all in like this fucking economy. Holy shit. And it's just,
yeah,
I don't know. But, I find it real hard to believe that Microsoft felt that like these studios couldn't develop something else. I mean, like, yeah, I get like, all right, you got to cut your losses on X project, but you couldn't have kept them employed on something else. Like, you couldn't have had them be like backup work for like Halo or developing the next Gears game. Like, come on. Like, that's shit. And also, yeah, like, holy shit, Romero's company fucking shuttered because of this. They're like, yeah, that's just so fucked, man. Like, nah, like, that's just some fucked up shit.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of shittiness.
When you shit the bed and it doesn't just affect you, but it affects your neighbors, you fucked up real bad and you gotta fix some shit. That's not acceptable. That's messed up.
Ah, well, there is more news we have to talk about. Still a lot of things going on. We talked about Nintendo doing pretty good. Nintendo Switch 2 reportedly sold over 5 million units in the first month, overtaking the PS4 as the fastest selling console ever. Nintendo came out and denied the report, saying it was just test data and a test report. And analysts think it was higher at 5.5 million.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. So it's like, oh my God, Nintendo sold 5 million. They're like, nah, no, we didn't. They're like, oh, you sold 5.5. Holy, yeah, huh. Switch 2 seems to be doing kind of okay.
Yes.
Shocking news came out today. Sony announced they're publishing Helldivers 2 on Xbox.
Yeah, comes out August 26th.
Finally, they're bringing us some of their games.
Game.
Well, you know, if there's one, maybe there'll be more.
There is already one, MLB The Show.
That's not published by Sony.
It used to be.
It's not on Xbox. It's been published by MLB on Xbox.
Yeah.
This is the first game coming published by PlayStation.
Yep.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's also crazy the day that they're releasing it.
Is the same day as Gears.
Yup.
Let's get a crossover. Give me Marcus Fenix and Helldivers.
Huh. I wonder if they do that.
Cool as fuck.
I mean, he would absolutely work in that universe.
It'd be awesome. Also pretty awesome. Game Pass editions. Decent-ish batch for the first half of the month. July 1st, we got Little Nightmares 2 and Rise of the Tomb Raider, which we knew about.
Nice. Yeah.
July 3rd, Ultimate Chicken Horse.
Nice.
You never played this one. Play this one. This one is fun as hell.
It'll be great to see the
online. No.
No.
No. It's very time consuming. And a lot of it comes down to, there's the one achievement comes down to comeback points. You have to be very far behind and then start winning a few. Earn those comeback points. I don't think I'll ever get that ever. So I stop bothering. But the game is fun as hell, especially if you play online.
Nice.
July 8th, The Ascent is coming back to Game Pass.
Yeah. I'm excited to be able to finish that one.
Which one's that one?
It's like a isometric view cyberpunk-y game.
Ooh.
You're in like an underground city.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Yeah. It's multiplayer.
July 9th, Minami Lane is a, you get to build your own street. It's like a casual management sim.
Okay, interesting. That could be kind of fun.
Day one launch on Game Pass. Nice. July 11th, another day one Game Pass launch, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4. Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that that was coming to Game Pass?
I heard rumors, but I was never sure.
Yeah.
You all hear that it's coming to Game Pass?
Anyone buying it?
Probably not. If I play it, it'll probably be on Game Pass.
Jacob, yeah. You gonna buy this Maybe. One?
Nah.
I bought the deluxe upgrade. Like, you get the bonus content, but I'll probably just play the game off Game Pass and not actually buy the base game.
Fair.
July 15th, High on Life is back on Game Pass.
Nice.
That is Good a one. Fun game.
I still yeah. need to pick up High on Knife DLC.
Me too.
Some bad news, though. We got to lose a couple games. July 15th, 6 games are leaving the service. The Callisto Protocol is gone. Oof. Case of the Golden Idol is gone.
I need to finish that one.
Lock is gone.
Not that one.
I was just waiting for Jacob to make a mother flock. Mafia Definitive Edition is gone.
Oh, well.
Magical Delicacy is gone.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a cute little game.
And Chia gone.
Oh,
everyone needs to go finish that real quick. That's a great game.
Yeah. Since we're talking Game Pass, let's talk PlayStation Plus. This news was out last week, but it completely slipped my mind, so we're catching up on this one. The PlayStation Plus monthly games for July were announced. It was the 15th anniversary of PlayStation Plus, so clearly they had to get a big Sony property as the headlining game, which is Microsoft's Diablo 4.
That's great.
Yeah, Diablo That's 4 great. Is the headliner. So, by the DLC, I guess. King of Fighters
Good job, 15. Drug addicts.
Yes. King of Fighters 15 and Jusant are the other two joining the monthly game lineup on PlayStation Plus.
Nice, Jusant was really good. I liked that one.
Good month. Really good month.
Yeah.
Most of my news bits are all random. I don't have them in any order at all, so we'll just see what comes up. Techland canceled 2 games. They didn't go into details on the titles, but one is believed to be the AAA fantasy open world action RPG they announced in 2022.
No idea what that was anymore.
Yeah. In disgusting news, over 100 games got fucking title updates last week for extra achievements. Most of them were AFIL games.
Sounds about right.
100.
Yeah, I got like 6,000 gamer score in one single night thanks to that. On stream on Tuesday.
Yeah, but how many of those were triple stacks?
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, still over 40 games. it's gross how, like, achievement hunting just has lost all meaning at this point, it feels.
Yeah.
I
spend $5 or spend $12.49 or some bullshit on a triple stack and get 3 games, like 6,000 achievement points each. For completing 15 levels of a shitty platformer. Ugh. Some good news. The Stop Killing Games initiative in the EU has broken 1 million signatures. This is an initiative that they're looking to get the EU to regulate games from completely shutting down, making them unplayable.
I hope that works and something happens to get that to work, because if that gets signed in and they force that over in the EU, it's probably going to help us too, which would be very nice.
Yeah. Completely unrelated news. Anthem will be completely unplayable after January 12th, as BioWare and EA are shutting down the title. It has no offline play.
Yep, and they that will not be giving any refunds.
Yeah, so once again, that is Stop Killing Games initiative in the EU. If you are in the EU, please sign up, make your voice heard, and maybe Anthem won't get shut down in a few months.
No, it still will. Even if that gets signed in, it'll it's not going to go into active for a few years. So sadly, Anthem's still going to be the way of the dodo.
Maybe
which is
they
a
could
shame.
Pressure EA into making it an offline game.
That would be nice, because I know some companies have done that in the past, where they've taken a fully online game and made it to where you could still access it in single player. I honestly expected them to do that with Anthem. I'm a little shocked that they haven't. Yeah,
they would
that
do it would for the crew. So,
yeah, fair.
Who knows?
Just throwing out there for Anthem, if anybody wants to play with me, I popped 2 achievements in it and then never played it again. So you have till January 12th. We should totally get this done. It only takes 60 to 80 hours. Come play some Anthem with me.
I'll give it a try.
Hell yeah. I mean,
Anthem's on Game Pass, yes?
It's being removed August 15th from EA Play.
I can play with you.
Yeah, I'm glad I only spent $6 on this game.
Yeah, it's been very cheap to get late. So
yeah, I mean,
it's been that way for like a few years now. But God bless those poor souls who spent like $100 on that banner edition.
I know someone who did. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh, that sucks.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, Joe.
Joe, you poor thing. Fuck up.
The altars is under fire for supposedly.
The statue's cool though, right?
Fuck up. The altar. It didn't come with a statue, did it? That was just a standard retail release, wasn't it?
You didn't come with a statue.
I thought it came with one of the exosuits or whatever the fuck they're called. Doing a pose. Interesting. Okay.
I don't remember. Doesn't matter. The altars is under fire for supposedly using AI in their development process and not disclosing it to Steam. Users found it, 11-bit admitted it, made excuses, and still didn't update Steam.
Oh, they fucked up. They did big fuck up.
Yeah.
That can get them kicked off of Steam altogether. Like, holy, not just that game, but them in their entirety. They
I'm
need
sure
to update
nothing
that
will
shit.
Happen.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, AI is gross, and I am trying to avoid games that use it. Which I know will be near impossible soon, but I will bitch about it anyway. Red Dead Online finally got some new content with Strange Tales of the West out now.
Nice. Huh.
Okay, cool.
Rockstar remembered Red Dead Online. Hey. Resident Evil Reverse. Dead. Gone. Ended with a final day peak of 86 players.
Mm. Nice. I'm amazed it got that many. So, you know, good on it, I guess.
DC League of Super Pets, The Adventures of Crypto and Ace has been delisted from Steam, Xbox, and PlayStation. It is still on disc for those who care and have a disc drive.
It's a shame.
Yep.
Yeah, because they decided not to renew it, and that's
licensing. Yay!
Well, I mean, it's understandable because it's also from that period of the DC EU where The Rock was trying to like take over and make Black Adam the focus of everything. Mm. We're not getting a sequel to that. So, like, it makes sense. Okay. I mean, I wish they didn't drop it, but like, I get it. For business purposes.
Don't get it. Don't care. Bandai Namco announced My Hero Academia All's Justice for PS5, Series X and S, and PC at their recent showcase. They unveiled nothing else at their showcase. They just showed trailers for shit we already knew about, including the fact that everybody's golf is still not coming to Xbox. Come on, Sony. We're getting Helldivers. Give us everybody's golf. Please. The Namco published game. Let them do it. EA Sports College Basketball will be returning. The NCAA will be involved, but the game will not be titled NCAA Basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. Outriders 2 was confirmed to be one of the titles that people can fly scrap the other week. So Outriders 2, go bye-bye.
Yep.
I think we all called that one, though.
Yeah, that was like a week or two ago where they were talking about like Project something. I don't know. But yeah.
I didn't know the first game did that well even to make a second game, to be honest.
I think it did good, but not Square Enix good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Phasmophobia has sold 25 million copies across all platforms.
Yay.
Nice.
That's pretty badass. Timmy Turner was revealed as the newest character in Nicktoons, The Dice of Destiny.
Hmm. I have no idea who that is.
You don't? Fairly Odd Parents.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was after our time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I've watched it because I used to watch it while being baked in college, but my kids watch it too, so, you know, it's fun.
I've seen like an episode.
Nah, I don't.
You've seen enough then.
Thimber is saying that there is something wrong with everybody's golf. There are reports that Namco is using AI in development. They have admitted that they are using it on trees.
Okay.
Like the foliage in the trees.
Hmm.
I can like almost understand that one.
Yeah, that sounds like something that they would have used AI for even, you know, 10 years ago.
Like, doing translations like what fucking Alders did. No.
Not cool. Not cool.
Not cool. Something that is cool. Animaniacs. Hollywood Hypnotics. A canceled 2003 Game Boy Advance game resurfaced on the Hidden Palace boards. It is downloadable and playable.
Nice. Ooh,
that's cool.
Yeah. Like it's complete. It just never got released.
Near complete, yeah.
Dang.
There may be some lingering bugs or something, but it's from what I hear, it's a near complete release. So
ooh.
Last bit of news I have, to the shock of absolutely nobody, Mind's Eye Dev Build a Rocket Boy is facing mass layoffs after the utter failure of the game. The head of the company is also claiming the game was damaged by saboteurs, and that it will be relaunched.
I think even if they relaunch it at this point, it might be too late. This might just be dead in the water because his comments towards the people who have reviewed the game and stuff have been, well, he's saboteurs. Style? He has not been, hostile. We'll call it hostile. I think he's kind of fucked this. It's even if it becomes a great game, I don't think anyone's going to give it a chance thanks to everything that's happened, which is a shame. I was really looking forward to that game. That makes me feel sad.
Yeah. That's the news I have. Aki, what do you have?
Oh, I get to punch you all right in the ball some more, folks, because more bad stuff.
Bree, what news do you have? No.
So, Krafton has decided to move the CEO of Callisto Protocol, the Left 4 Dead styled game that did very mediocrely, or not Left 4 Dead, Dead Space styled game that did very, very mediocrely. They're now in charge of Subnautica 2, because all of the heads of Subnautica 2 are gone. They don't know if it was voluntary or if they were fired, but they're all gone.
They're all replaced.
Yeah, by one guy. So they took the Subnautica heads that were really good at what they did, and they're replacing it with one person who made a... Whilst I may have enjoyed the game, it was mediocre hell. So, and in a completely different style. So I'm very worried about Subnautica, because I don't know how much he's going to be like, things are going to be my way now. Like lots of, you know, heads do when they get in, they fuck everything up because they need to be the one in charge. So I'm worried about that very heavily now. But who knows? Maybe it'll be good. I don't know. And one more bit of news. Michael Madsen has died from a heart attack. Yeah,
he did voice work in GTA 3 and Dishonored. He was also known for Reservoir Dogs and Kill Bill.
He was in Crime and Boss, too, wasn't he?
Yep, he was the main character in Crime Boss, Rock Hay City.
There you go.
It's a shame. I really liked him as an actor.
He was also in the Uwe Boll film Blood Rain.
Okay.
Of course you would know that.
Yeah, I posted it on the Facebook page earlier today.
And in one of my favorite movies, Species.
Of course you would like that one.
Yep, I love that whole series. It's so stupid.
It really is. I love it.
That's where I learned of who he even was. It was actually from Species.
Yeah, I came back from a burn ride, and we threw on the TV, and Species 2 was in there, and I'm like, holy shit, what the hell is Sir Ben Kingsley doing in this? Like, you are better than this, sir. And, like, all of a sudden it turned into, like, the alien sex stuff, and we're like, what in the hell are we watching? Because none of us had seen that thing. And, yeah, and then this premiere for Species 3 came out, we, like, we quickly did another burn ride so that we could watch the next movie. But yeah, it's such a what the fuck series. It really is.
Yes, it is. That's why I love it.
Like, and it's not like Event Horizon. What the fuck? It's just somebody committed millions of dollars. They're like, yeah, I'm going to spend $40 million on aliens having sex with dudes. That's cool. The hell.
That's all my news is more gut punches for everybody. Have fun.
Bree, what do you got?
Well, the only thing I have left is that NASCAR heat servers are shutting down August 1st because of licensing issues. Aki actually took my other two bits of news.
Woohoo!
Is it all the NASCAR heat games?
All of them will be offline by then.
Yeah, I just have that one. Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's the last one that's left because True Achievements earlier was saying that NASCAR Heat 4 already seems to be offline.
Gotcha.
All right, Jacob, what do you got?
So EA expects Battlefield 6, which is supposed to be the next one in the series. They expect it to have 100 million players.
They're fucking delusional.
That is three times more than the series bestseller. So, if you're looking for your ET moment, I think we're about to find it.
Yeah. Companies are getting delusional with this stuff. Oh, we're going to get this many people. No, you're not. Reasonably, that's not possible. You're not going to. And yet, you're still going to increase the price and spend more money than you will ever get back. They need to rein the shit in. This is why the industry is going to shit. This is unreasonable. There is no way. And it's just going to make all the devs feel really bad because all the higher ups is just going to treat them like shit because they didn't do it. And it's like, it's unreasonable. They couldn't have done it. It's so fucked up. Oh, it makes me mad.
All right. What else? Anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Brie, tell us your fantastic news again, you know, from the very beginning. Let's end on a high note, please.
So, Indri and I are getting married. Yay!
What?
We bought a house. Now.
What?
I'm moving to Wisconsin.
What?
Well,
did he go to Jared? All of
that, except for maybe Wisconsin.
So yeah, Helldivers on Xbox. That's pretty fucking weird, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Review time. Should we dive into reviews? Y'all ready to get into this?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let us dive into these. We only have a handful to talk about tonight. So, first up, Nova Hearts, developed by Lightbulb Crew, published by Shoreline Games, released June 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $24.99. Mysterious force of power transforms you and other highly attractive people. Aki, you're not highly attractive. How did you get this game?
Look, someone has really bad eyesight. I don't know.
Anyway, a mysterious force of power transforms you and other allegedly highly attractive people in your area into superheroes and villains. You're a villain. text, date, and fight your friends and enemies alike. Aki, what is going on in Nova Hearts?
Okay, so this is a turn-based combat game with visual novel elements of interacting with people. So very good going there. You play as a young woman named Lucy who has come back home after basically flunking out of university because it got too stressful. I understand that very well. Her dad absolutely hates the town, so he wasn't willing to drive her there. So she had to get there on her own, and she's now living with her mom in her old room. And it turns out everyone she knew, it's been like, I think, 3 years since she was last there, and everyone she knows has gotten a big old glow up, and they're all horny as shit. So, you know, that's nice. like, literally, one
after dark.
Yeah, kinda. Like, one of the first things that happens is you talk to your mom about what happened and why you're there, like, immediately after getting there, and she's like, oh, cool, I invited your old friend Will here, who is a girl, by the way. All of them have names that do not match them. It's weird.
Freaking mosquito in here. No! Sorry.
And Will comes in and tells you, hey, yeah, a giant party's being thrown tonight. You're coming with us. You got lots of options you can choose, but all of them still lead you to going to the fucking party. So just accept it and move on. And the thing about this party, it's where all the hot people go to fuck. Like, outright, that is what this party is for. It's the end of the year party, and it is specifically there so people can hook up with each other, and that's it.
Okay. So,
yeah, this entire game is horny to the max.
That's why you got this game.
Yes, it is. It is hilarious, because all the characters, they're down bad.
SML after dark.
Extremely. So you get to introduce yourself to some people that you knew and kind of knew in the past. For instance, Will's current best friend is CJ, someone that you didn't really know all that well.
Yeah, he because did the show they a few were... years ago. I miss CJ. I wonder how he's up to.
Who? What? Huh?
Never mind.
Okay. They used to be like the class president, you know, type of little shit heel, and now they like sleep with everybody, apparently, is what their thing is now. Very big glow ups all around, folks. And everyone is trying to get in your pants, and you can get into a lot of theirs too. There is every choice you make during conversations, you usually have like three. I think occasionally you get four, but it's almost always three. They change the different feelings the people have for you. So some of them might lead to romance, some lead to respect, some are antagonistic, so on and so forth. And many times you don't know which one's going to be which for each individual character, because it's kind of like that old style where it gives you kind of what you're saying, but not necessarily exactly what you're saying. So it might end up you're like, oh, this looks like this is going to be an insult. And then at the end of it, your character's like, but that was really cute. And it's like, bitch, I was trying to insult them. What the hell? And in between all these visual novel segments where everyone is thirsty as shit, there's combat. During this party, there's supposed to be this really nice meteor shower due to this comet that's going by. And everyone there gets magic powers for some reason. And then a bunch of little furry squishmallows come and attack you. So you become a superhero, a magical girl.
I wonder if my sister's played this. She collects those damn things.
Fair. I mean, they're soft. I'm all for it. And yeah, they're all cat ones. And they're adorable, but they bite and scratch. And they, when they attack you, they suddenly grow a big buff arm that uppercuts you, and it's funny.
She gave me a Squishmallow. It's a cat. Nice. I think it's named Cam.
Very, even better.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I... The combat is a little complicated because it's turn-based, but I still don't fully understand how the turns work exactly, because it seems like sometimes it just picks people out of the lineup at random, or maybe I'm just not noticing it getting to different characters. Basically, there's a plan phase where you decide what you're going to do, and then it takes a certain amount of time before the character will do that action. The enemies also have to deal with that. So some of your actions might take 2 or 3 or 8 or who fucking knows. And, yeah, each one of your characters, as you slowly fill up your fighting roster, have different abilities and capacities that they can do. For instance, the main character, Lucy, she is a powerhouse. She walks in and she hits things real good, and that's her only benefits, because she has the least HP, and her defense is what I would refer to as worse than a paper wet paper bag. So... She's in a lot of trouble. And then you also, your first two allies end up being obviously CJ and Will. Will is able to slow people with her little magic attacks that do next to no damage. And then CJ is able to hit them and cause some sort of debuff. I don't know what it does. Or even get them to focus just on attacking them instead of everybody else, which is... not exactly useful fully, because no one has a lot of health in this game at the start. It is actually kind of hard at the beginning because they all have absolute trash health. So
yeah. Here one of the issues is that there's no difficulty settings either.
There is not.
Bummer.
It is doable. It's just You're not going to breeze through it. Your characters are going to go down, and you can lose because, you know, fuck-ups are an inevitable when you have, like, 100 health and enemies do, like, 40 to 60 damage a hit. yeah, it's a lot of luck-based stuff, because the enemies could all just attack the same person. And if there's 3 or more enemies that you're fighting, they can wipe a person out from full health to nothing in a single turn if you're unlucky. So yeah, kind of a problem. However, after your battles, you get some experience that you use in a little exercise app that CJ got you to download, and it allows you to upgrade your abilities. And also when you're talking with people, they sometimes, you interact them with certain ways, and they give you new abilities, shared attacks or something like that, little things that between the two of you, you can do that are really interesting. I've only managed to really get one between me and Will, and I haven't really used it because I'm still trying to figure out how the turns work in the game, and it's just not going very well. It's really cute. Yeah, it's because I don't know how anything moves across the screen. I know things get moved around on it, but it doesn't seem like, oh, when it reaches this end of the screen, that person moves, because sometimes it feels like the people in the middle move. And it's like, I just don't really fully grasp how the turn-based aspect works. And a part of that is probably because it's not like, oh, their turn, your turn, their turn, your turn. It's not like that. It's their turn takes four actions before they get to do it. Yours can take anywhere from 2 to 4, I think, is my max right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so you're jumping all over the place as well. So it's very hard to keep track of where anyone's move actually is. I don't really particularly like this system, how it works that way, because it's very hard to know what's going on. I would like it more.
Is the bar at the bottom an indicator of like the turn progress, and like I haven't played it myself, so I don't.
There is a bar at the bottom.
Screenshots.
Yeah, the bar at the bottom is supposed to, in some way. I don't know if it's just a little glitchy, but sometimes the people in the middle seem to go before the people on the left-hand side, which is, I think you're supposed to reach all the way to the left, and then that action happens. But it feels like people in the middle sometimes get to make moves as well. And it's just very confusing because of how it's all set up. I don't fully understand what I'm looking at when I'm looking at that, because it's a little unnecessarily complicated to me, because things move around so differently so regularly that it's just really hard to keep track of what actually is going on to figure it out even.
Did anyone else look into this game? Jacob, I don't think it looks like a you game, but Bree, did you play this or look into this or anything?
No, not at all. Hmm. My first time hearing about it.
Oh, that's a shame. I think you'd like it, Bree. Okay. There are plenty of people to date in this. Guys, yay! Girls, non-binaries, the whole spectrum of peoples. So, yeah. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It is not an insanely long game. From what I understand, it's around like 7 to 10 hours. I haven't finished it yet because I'm having a lot of trouble in the combat. But it's not super long. However, there is a bunch of replayability, as a lot of the achievements in the game seem like they're kind of either-or type situations.
Right, well, let's talk price on this one. First off, I gotta thank Injury for the 20-month sub. And speaking of 20, this is 20 on PC, 25 on console. What are your thoughts on Nova Hearts?
I think it's worth it, personally. That's about what I'd expect for something like this, so I'm totally for it. If you're like, oh, go woke, go broke, then don't fucking touch this game. Or any game, for that matter. Just, you know,
run it down. I saw someone in their Steam forums like, oh, I saw this was from the people of Other Side, and I was going to play it. But
there's
pronouns. Pronouns.
I read that and I almost commented and I was like, no, I don't want to get kicked out of forums.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So stupid. Play a game. Don't be an idiot.
Yeah, so if you're one of those people, don't play this. You're definitely not going to like it, because you can date guys, you can date girls. CJ is non-binary, gender fluid. Will is a woman. Sasha is a guy. If pronouns are a problem for you, you're going to have so many issues within like the first hour. Don't do it. Everyone else, this is totally a game for you. I think it's going to be well liked by, you know, the not stupid people.
Yeah. And if you do have issues like that, please don't listen to us. Vessels of Decay, developed by Simon Jacobson and Aurora Punks, published by Head Up, released June 19th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $17.99. Vessels of Decay is a retro-inspired action-adventure set in a post-apocalyptic Scandinavia. You'll follow siblings Freya and Mud as they navigate an overgrown world, one where monsters of myth and ancient folklore now reign. Jacob, what is Vessels of Decay?
Vessels of Decay is, I guess the easiest way to put the visual style is that it's very much in like late 90s action titles, that especially I figure that you'd see mostly on PC and stuff like that. And you follow these two sisters in this post-apocalyptic world, and
my straw is really noisy. Sorry.
Like, I get that you're supposed to be hydrating, but damn. Man.
That noise was amazing.
That's what we need to do YouTube shorts now? Of.
Of what?
The dumb little things that happen in the middle of the show.
I fully support that. That would be awesome.
I do too.
Oh, man. Someone who cares enough to do those. Vessels of Decay. Jacob, tell us, what is Vessels of Decay?
So, yeah. So, you're playing as these two sisters who are trying to survive in this post-apocalyptic land. And it seems like everyone's dead, but not quite. And so there's these different... Are you fucking good with your drink? Like, I swear to goddamn.
I didn't even mean for that to distract you. Oh my god.
I hate you. Anyway, so you're supposed to be playing...
God.
After fucking with a straw for like 20 minutes.
Don't make me get the straw back.
Anywho, so yeah, so you're playing as these two sisters trying to survive in a post-apocalyptic world. Okay, no interruptions. So, it's never, at least as far as I got, it's never really clear as to like what caused it. It's just things are fucked and you're trying to survive. And so a lot of the game is you trying, like, just exploring all these different areas. And the game does introduce mechanics, like, fairly, you know, like, it's not a tutorial level, but, like, it, you know, it introduces stuff. And thankfully, the game has infinite lives. You just start at your last checkpoint. Because you're going to need them with this as you discover how things work in the game, such as being zapped by old computer servers that are still on, falling down endless pits, stuff like that. But unfortunately, I was not able to get particularly far in the game because one of the early bosses that you have to fight, which is this huge boar that's out in the middle of the farm, you're supposed to like try to kill it before it kills you, and the boar keeps killing me and then just running over my corpse. Like, I am clearly dead. My sister's sitting on like over on the side over there, just like, oh, that looks tough, guy. Huh. And, yeah, like, the damn board just, like, it just runs over me. Like, and I let it go because I was just like, oh, well, you know, it's clearing out the forest. Maybe this is some sort of, you know, artistic thing that, like, is going to lead to a cutscene. 5 minutes later, I've determined, no, it's not leading to any kind of cutscene after it... Yo, can you hear me?
What? Yeah, what?
Okay, just like a bunch of my network stuff suddenly just up, like, the Twitch stream just suddenly died, so. Anyway, okay.
I swear I didn't do it.
No, it's okay.
Like, scared to move in my chair now, because I want you to yell at me.
But, I the board just keeps running me over. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll try it again. And the same damn thing happened. And so we emailed the devs to let them know, like, hey, like, I think this is the glitch.
I never got a reply back. I'm not sure if they've just been really busy with launch or other projects going on.
And it stinks because, like, you know, I've tried to make sure, like, you know, it's not like it's not just a, like a dumb save file. But I don't know what's up with it. The board just wants to run over me for the rest of eternity. The art is beautiful in this game. Like, it's really cool when you do get to face off against enemies and stuff like that. You're allowed to do finishing moves, which. For each creature, it is unique.
Unique.
And there is like a decent amount, like, variety. And so you're not just sitting there watching the same thing over and over again. It seems like a pretty cool game. I just wish I could make it past this boar thing.
No. I do want to clarify quick, like, we didn't hear back about a fix. They did reply like a week ago saying that they have run into issues with the build. They reported to the team, and if there's a fix, they'll let us know, but we haven't heard anything on a fix. So,
yeah. So I hope it gets fixed soon, because honestly, like, this seems like a pretty cool game. Like, I enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah.
Up until, you know, being run over by a boar.
Yeah. Well, as of now,
which ended up being a boar. Finger guns.
Got a button for this one. Let me get to it.
Oh, I thought you were going to call me a dumb son of a bitch.
I mean, I could look for...
No. What was that? Oh, I think it's you big dumb idiot.
You big old dumb idiot.
Yeah, there you go.
Shut through your mouth! Shut through your mouth!
Anyway. So.
All right, it is $18. We need a verdict on this one. Give us two verdicts. One if it's fixed, one if it's not fixed.
I mean, if it's not fixed, then it's a try it at best, because I don't want to recommend a game where somebody's going to get stuck at the same boss fight for forever, like me. I mean, but, you know, maybe it's just a weird thing that I triggered and, like, the game will let me get out of it because of how I play the game. I don't know. But if it gets fixed, yeah, totally. Like, this is a pretty neat game. Like, I enjoyed my glitch-free time with it.
All right. Sounds good. Let us move on. Next game to talk about. How to Escape Lost Submarine, developed by Breakfast Games, published by Breakfast Games and Maximum Entertainment, released June 24th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $12.99. Team up with a friend to reach a lost submarine and prevent the outbreak of war. Work together on two devices to solve increasingly challenging puzzles, where each of you has your own unique role to play. Bree, Aki, both of you covered this. Bree, start us off. What is How to Escape Lost Submarine?
So this is a two-player escape room game. It has six rooms with three puzzles each, many of which have multiple stages to figure out. Both players have different tasks and information, so it's a little asymmetrical. One player is on a submarine and the other is like tech support for the agent on the sub. The story is that you're tasked with communicating with an armed submarine that has orders to launch torpedoes, that could cause a huge war. The generals change their mind, but the sub was out of radio contact, so we go in on a mini-sub and we have to puzzle our way through security and such to stop them. But when we get there, the ship is empty, and we've got to disarm the bomb ourselves. In order to play this game, one person has to own the game, and the second person has to use a companion app you can download for free on mobile or Steam. It was challenging to figure out the app on Steam. You have to go into the settings and select which to launch, the demo or the app, because it's also a demo.
Honestly, I actually looked at the main game. I think the main game can be turned into it, too. I don't think you actually have to have the demo.
Oh, okay. Well, the companion app is a thing. I couldn't use the app on my phone because my phone is out of space. But after using the Steam app, I can't.
How many cat pictures are on your phone?
No, I think my phone is broken. The card is broken. My SD card. And I've run out of space. I can't download any apps. It's really stupid. I think I just need a new phone. After using the Steam app, though, I can't imagine trying to do all the stuff that I was doing on a phone. It's important to note that at no point do you actually online connect to the other player. It just uses codes to verify information so you can sync up in the manual.
So if you have all the codes, you could cheat your way through this thing.
Yes. I've actually gotten to play both sides now. My first playthrough, I ran tech on the companion app for Aki, and then I played as the submarine agent with Lloyd as my tech on the app. It's a very different experience. You get to walk around the submarine.
Was it the same, or were some of the puzzles randomized?
Some of the puzzles were randomized.
Gotcha. Very good.
Yeah. So I got to walk around the submarine, find clue cards, and sometimes physical machine parts to interact with on the consoles. Other than the one timed tandem puzzle with codes, you don't physically do much on the app. The app is like charts and codes and manuals on how to operate the machines on the submarine. One thing to mention about the sub side of things is that you have a timer to get the puzzles done or you die. And there are achievements for not dying in each of the rooms. Communication. Oh, go ahead, Aki.
I'm guessing you beat the game since you're with us today.
Yes. Yes, okay, totally. Whew. Did you have something to say, Aki?
Yeah, the timers are before you die in the game are pretty generous. Really?
Yeah, hour and a half.
Yeah, I think it's 60 minutes for each and every individual room. Yeah. So you have plenty of time. And I think the most... And on top of that, if the person you're playing with is having trouble in their companion app, as the main player, you can just pause the game. And the timer stops. So you can give the companion app player as much time as they need and just talk your way through it. And it isn't going to bother you. You don't have to let the timer go down. I mean, you can if you want, but that would be stupid. Because I think it took us more than an hour on a couple of realistically speaking. Yeah.
Communication really is the name of the game with this co-op experience. You'll need to ask questions of your partner so that you both get an idea of what's going on the other screen to puzzle it out. There's an entire symbol language used to arm and disarm torpedoes, which was where it started to get really hard.
I think it got harder the level before that. The very last puzzle of the captain's quarters area was a topographical map that took us entirely too long to figure out because it just did not make a lot of sense at first. Bree, I give Bree all the credit.
Rooms were pretty easy. The puzzles got progressively harder until we were so confused we had to start sharing our screens. And then it still took a while to figure out some of them naturally. I think by the end we were just done with the bitch, and I think Aki looked up a walkthrough for the final two legs of the last puzzle. Yeah. I was pretty proud of what we did figure out before we got there. So, like, the game was long. Like, the game felt longer than was enjoyable for a single sitting, and we decided to power through it. Aki and I were pretty determined to get through, for the sake of review schedules. We spent a whole afternoon on it, and some of that involved a bit of conversation with Jacob and me taking a break to play some Dead Rising 3 with some Achievement Hunter group, though. So, that said, I thought the puzzles in the beginning were great, and then the puzzles just, they got almost too hard. At a point.
Yeah, here's how bad it is to play this all in one sitting. If you die, obviously that level resets. That means you spent 60 minutes on that level. There's like 8 levels.
Yeah. No, there's 6 levels, but they have 3 puzzles each. And then some of the puzzles have multiple stages in them. Like, I noticed, I don't even remember this, but like, to get one of my pieces of the oxygen machine where you had to find the physical pieces to put together, one of mine was locked behind a 4 button box, and Lloyd had to find, so I don't even know where he found that code, because I don't remember that being on my side at all when
we that's because we didn't figure it out. I ended up just brute forcing it.
Brute forced it.
I brute forced that one and another one, and the other one was by fucking accident.
Yeah, I brute forced one too when we were going through with Lloyd, because we were just not getting the definition of stream or waterfall or drip properly. Yeah, but I eventually brute forced that.
I brute forced that one too, so 3.
Yeah.
We were close, but man, that one's complicated.
What game it was, but I was playing with the ID stream, and we couldn't figure out whatever the puzzle was. And on stream, I just brute forced the friggin' thing. And nice. They're like, how'd you figure out? I'm like, I don't know. Let's move on.
I didn't figure it out. I just punched it in the face until it fell over. It worked.
Numbers friggin' worked. But
any other thoughts, Aki?
This one's really complicated because, again, the puzzles, they start off good, and I liked them, and they were very easy to understand, even if they took a little bit to figure out, they were understandable very easily, and we could figure them out. But by the end, so many of them were such fucking gibberish. Like, from the torpedo room.
The torpedo, yeah.
Yeah, that entire room, all of it was basically gibberish. It took us probably over an hour and a half just to solve that one room. Because all three of the puzzles were fucking gibberish.
Well, and to that be wasn't fair, that the last was also room. Where I was taking a break to play Dead Rising 3.
Well, yeah, I mean, even when you weren't breaking, it still took us about an hour and a half, just that level. It was...
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense. And even after we figured it out, it still didn't make a lot of damn sense.
Yeah.
And that still wasn't the last damn room, even.
I got a question about this game. Hopefully you'll be able to answer this. You said that there's a companion app that's used for this game. How necessary is that to play this game?
Absolutely.
So what happened?
It depends. If you want to play it the way it's supposed to be played, it's absolutely necessary. You have to play a two-player. However, if you play it how I play it, it is absolutely unnecessary because there are walkthroughs that will tell you every possible solution for every puzzle.
I like how you yell at people for speed reading through visual novels, but actual puzzle games, you're like, I'm gonna fucking use a guide.
Hey, it works.
Does auto reading. In a visual.
Right. No, to answer your question, Jacob, you have to have information from both sides to be able to solve the puzzles. There's a code that the submarine will give to the companion app operator, and that gives them the manuals with the diagrams and all the information that you need to solve the puzzle. And then you have to talk back and forth next to each other to figure out, like, there's a puzzle in the beginning where you have three lighthouses with numbers next to them, and they have stripes on them that are horizontal, vertical, or diagonal. And that is important because there's a diagram on the app that tells you a series of numbers, and the person on the submarine has to figure out that the lights flash in square and circle and triangle patterns with different colors on them to match a chart, and then it'll give you the 4-digit code you need or the 6-digit code you need.
Okay.
Which is complicated. I think it was
6-digit. Yeah.
All right. So what I'm getting at with this, like, this app, is it specific to this game, or is it like on some sort of service that
it's specific for this game?
Yeah.
So what happens if they stop updating? Like
it's, there's no connection. So there's no internet connection required to play the game together. It's just a matter of, like, if you type in 6543, it'll give you the right thing to connect in the app to what puzzle is going on in the main game.
I think Jacob's concern is if the app gets pulled or if it becomes incompatible with future tech.
Thank you. Cause I mean, like, I've got a string of iPhone.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, like, I've got like a string of iPhone games that I can't play anymore because they're just simply not compatible. And so like that.
At a computer, like, I guess.
That would honestly give me pause on this game.
I don't know about phones because I don't really do phone stuff, but it should stay functional on the PC. Which is where you need to play the main game anyways. I don't think it can be played on the phone. So
yeah, the main game is on consoles as well.
Gotcha. Yeah, where and the again, companion the app should page always work.
Does say that you have to use the dedicated companion app for your smartphone. So it's not like this is hidden information. And
this is their second game in the series of How to Escape. I played the first game as well with the companion app. And I don't know. I get your concern, though, now about the technology for the app being pulled. But again, it's available on Steam. So,
yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
All right. $13. Need a verdict.
I had a lot of fun with this one. I felt it was longer than the original game, which is a bit much for one game session. The game autosaves, though, which is nice, and you can stop the game and come back to it. I think there is a chapter select after you're done, so you
there can is. Do some
achievement cleanup. Yeah. I would say buy it. It's a good price.
I'm going to have to label this as a try it myself, just because, again, later levels, they get so hard that you can't really talk through it, because what they want you to talk through is stuff that doesn't have any meaning or explanation, making it very hard to actually talk it through.
We were just too tired to figure it out at that point.
I wasn't even remotely tired yet. But so I think it's a try it personally.
She was giving you an out, so you're just dumb.
We're gotcha. Yeah, we're just dumb. Gotcha. And I'm okay with that. You know, it is what it is. They made it too hard. So I think it's a try it. I like it, but it's so hard that it's hard to suggest to everybody. So I think it's a try it at most.
Gotcha.
Great.
Moving on, next game, Zombies Overloaded, developed by Vinterm Games, published by Brainium Games. Released June 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S for $6.99. Zombies are everywhere, arcade-inspired shooter where relentless waves of undead creeps shamble, sprint, and swarm at you in a cramped room. Your only chance, a wild arsenal of weapons and just enough skill and blind luck to keep the hordes at bay. Horror Acolyte covered this one, wrote in an email. What do you guys say? Zombies Overloaded pits you against hordes of zombies within a twin-stick shooter wave defense format, a similar vein to the Super NES classic Smash TV, but slightly more bare bones. You start out in a singular arena equipped with a pistol containing unlimited ammo, with the sole purpose of surviving as long as possible against seemingly infinite waves of enemies, chasing a high score to put yourself on global leaderboards. Each enemy wave becomes slightly larger and varied, starting out with basic enemies, but eventually containing some larger zombies and rats. Every fifth wave, you'll be treated to a boss with an infinite number of minions that slowly spawn in. The bosses have very limited attacks, but deal high damage with very predictable attack patterns. Regular minions only deal moderate damage, but fortunately your health regenerates over time at a pretty quick rate. To aid you in your slaughtering ways, random weapons will appear in the arena, like assault rifles, shotguns, flamethrowers, or laser rifles, of which you can only hold one at a time. These weapons have limited ammo, but random ammo drops will appear as well to increase your reserves for your currently equipped weapon. There's also a chance to pick up the frequently spawning power-ups like increased speed, invincibility, or a nuke, damaging most of the enemies clearing out the screen. The main gameplay loop has you moving around the arena, killing and avoiding enemies for as long as possible. On the sides of the arena are a pairing of passageways that allow you to teleport from one side to the other, an invaluable tool for keeping yourself mobile since enemies are unable to take advantage of this effect. You also have a dash ability with 5 charges to help maneuver a bit better around the hordes, the charges replenishing over time at a slow rate. Slain enemies can drop bones that can be picked up and used during a round to buy weapons, power-ups, or ammo, the game allowing you to pause mid-combat to make the necessary purchases. That's nice that, you know, you could stop life to spend money. All unused bones will be stored after you die and can be used to purchase gold coins. Gold coins allow you to buy additional levels, permanent stat upgrades, or cosmetic unlocks. Other than the standard Overloaded game mode, there's also an alternate mode called Pacifism, which just has you survive weaponless for as long as you can against a singular wave of zombies that is constantly increasing. Between both the modes, there are only 5 levels, 3 for Overloaded and 2 for Pacifism. Considering the recent saturation of indie games in the horde defense genre, Zombies Overloaded doesn't really do much to set itself apart. There's very little variety to the gameplay loop, especially considering the extremely limited amount of enemy types, weapons, and maps. I didn't find the mindless slaughtering particularly satisfying even after making it onto the leaderboards with minimal effort. You are someone... Oh, I'm bragging. Look at you. If you are someone who cares about achievements or trophies, only takes about 3 to 4 hours to unlock all of them, with only a few achievements presenting any kind of real challenge. I did run into a couple glitches, some bosses in the player character getting stuck in the walls on some occasions. Game isn't terrible, but in my opinion, a mundane entry in a genre that has lots to choose from. I have to give this one a deny it unless you have an insatiable primal hunger for more of this type of game or achievements. That's a bummer. I thought this one looked good. But $7, I might throw it on my wish list, grab it when I can.
Might as well.
What the fuck is crawling on my leg? Spider, nice. Yay. Next game, Mystic Thief Elemental Conquest, developed and published by Synergy Circle Games. Released July 1st, Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC for $4.99 each. Enter a world where magic is power and theft is your greatest weapon. Oh, like politics. Play as Zevi, a mysterious hooded wizard with the rare ability to steal magical staffs, harness the spells of others. Dive into the depths of ever-shifting elemental dungeon, a perilous maze known only to wizards, teeming with ancient treasures, elemental foes, and forbidden sorcery. Master every element, conquer every chamber, become the ultimate arcane master. Jacob, what is Mystic Thief Elemental Conquest?
So, Mystic Thief Elemental Conquest is interestingly like a puzzle platformer in a way. You're presented with all of these individual levels, and pretty much how it works is like you're this mage, and you have a wand that is kind of like a neutral power, and then you're allowed to start getting like the fire or wind or earth, and each one of those kind of plays like a rock paper scissors kind of thing. So fire is destroyed by water, but fire can destroy grass, and grass could destroy wind, and wind can destroy water, so on and so forth. And so you pretty much have to, you almost end up needing to die so you can like like map out like how the level's supposed to come out, because what it'll do is that like, oh well, this thing that you need to get, like this type of sword or not sword, wand that you need is up here, but you're not going to be able to get it until you defeat this guy who you have, like, who is strong against your attack. And so you end up having to figure out what is the best way to get the wands when you need them so you can open up all the treasure chests. And I thought that this was going to be a pretty crap game, and I'm not entirely sold on it, but it's intriguing enough. Like, the puzzle, like, the platforming is, I mean, it's fine. It's nothing to get excited about. But that whole, like, you know, oh, well, you're not just going to get everything in, like, one go, like, just moving from left to right across the screen, like a steamroller or something like that. You have to keep going back. Like, obviously not, like, Metroidvania kind of going back, because it's just one level per thing. But, yeah, like, I thought it was interesting. Frustrating as hell. Because, like, your ass is going to get kicked quite a bit, even if you do everything right. But, yeah, like, it's a pretty decent game. I was surprised by it.
All right, it's $5. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd give it, yeah, I'd recommend it for $5. It's worth it.
Well, good for you. Next up, we're going from Mystic to Magic with Magic Pathways Crystal Quest. Developed and published by Aphil Games. Released July 2nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Xbox PC. $4.99 each. The fairies are back now with more crystals, more magic, and a lot more enchanted trouble. All jeepers! Mystic Pathways Crystal Quest is the sparkling sequel that takes puzzles to a new level of strategic cuteness. You'll make wrong turns, dead ends, place fairies where they shouldn't be, and you'll love every second of it. Everyone covered this. Aki, start us off. What's Magic Pathways?
Okay, in this, you play as a fairy, I think?
Multiple fairies. I mean, you're not really playing as a fairy, you're just guiding them.
I guess that's true. basically you're moving around pieces to create pathways for these fairies to go and fly past some magical crystals and then get to their little teleportation room.
It's an obelisk.
Altar. Oh, okay. That.
Yeah, come on, read the achievements. Jeez.
No, I'm lazy. When are y'all going
to
learn this?
She doesn't know how to read, Jacob.
Exactly. That's why visual novels are my favorite thing.
Yeah, you speed through.
I will hurt you. But yeah, so you know, it requires you to move tiles around or to rotate them to create pathways so that they don't, you know, run into a dead end or smack into another fairy when you get multiple fairies. Eventually some portals show up because they love their portals and you get to go through those and so on and so forth, and it is very, very much the same as every other game just like this that we've covered in the history of ever, because the game hasn't really innovated, because it is what it is. It's kind of like Tetris. It just is.
Yo, if the song "I'm Bringing Home a Baby Bumblebee" is your jam, holy shit, wait till you check this
song
game out.
Is back with
a vengeance. Oh my fucking god. Like, it's on repeat the whole entire time.
Yeah, they need a different song.
They need multiple songs. AFIL Games, if you're listening.
I didn't notice this.
Yeah.
God, weren't you lucky? AFIL, if you're actually listening, come on, guys. Use all the money you're making from these triple stacks to, like, buy a composer. Like, come on, man.
Or buy at least a second song off the friggin' marketplace, right?
Yeah.
Give a fiver. They'll make something fine. It'll be okay. There are a handful of them. There you go. Then you'll have a whole entire game's worth of music.
Yo,
it doesn't matter if it's all good. It's different.
Yeah, but like Joe knows a bunch of, like, you know, people who do video game music.
I mean, they,
like,
still want to get paid, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of them work on Fiverr?
I don't think so.
No. Might be out of AFIL's hands then.
Hmm. Well, this game is a Fiverr. What do you think?
That's more than the budget allows.
Well, what else did you want to say about it?
It's too steep. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, it's the same damn tile games that we've been playing over and over again. You know, I don't know. They're chill. I don't mind them. But
yeah.
Yeah, the thing about these games is either you like them or you don't, and you already know it because we've only covered this exact type of game like 30 times in the past like year. So,
yep, I'm unlocking.
I like them.
I'm unlocking achievements as we actually review.
Nice.
Yeah,
I finished all three of them in a single night.
This game is not an original idea. There might be something similar to this.
Oh yeah.
God. Joe,
there might be 50-somethings just like this. Bees, the Flowers, or whatever the fuck the game was.
I was waiting for someone to say, the first Mystic Pathway.
Well, there's that, too.
That was the joke waiting to be said.
I'm too lazy for that one, though.
I know you are. Yeah, $5, verdicts.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I like these.
I like them, too. They're nice, they're easy, I don't have to think too hard about it.
Yep.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. That is it for this episode. Made it through. A lot of news. Man, the world kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, still some happy,
but at least there's some good things in the future for at least one of us.
Exactly. Like, it. You know, in this dark, dreary world, SML is obviously a huge beacon of light.
Don't lie to people like that.
It's the emergency light on your check engine light. You know, it's that one, but you know, still a light.
I'm pretty sure huge on the SML podcast.
You and Jacob.
Us, the hosts.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Joe and I.
No. Yay.
Yay!
Now
Yay.
We get to do news! Woo!
We didn't end the show yet. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, man. Jeez, pay attention.
I don't like paying attention. Man. That's too much money.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Man, now we got to edit that or something.
Oh, no. Joe has to do his job.
We like that you do your job. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
Music this episode, sure Lonely Rolling Stars, with Give Time Its Proper Love from Seeker to Mana. Final words.
Boner fart.
Brie, anything to end it with a classy something.
Man, that's too much pressure.
Could just say classy something. Some of that out there. You could toss it back if you like.
Classy something.